Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to the weekly podcast. I'm Jim Dolan. This week, it's all detectives, and we're going to start off with an episode of Counter Spy from 1949, The Case of the Photographed Furrier.
Pepsi-Cola, P-E-P-S-I, that's your smartest cola buy. Pepsi-Cola presents Counter Spy.
Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy. Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy.
Harding, Counter Spy, calling Washington.
United States Counter Spies, especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad.
Tonight, The Case of the Photographed Furrier. Another counter-spy report to the American people. Brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot. Lot more value, lot more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Yes, Pepsi's best. Because Pepsi, and only Pepsi, gives you more bounce to the ounce, more real value and quick food energy, ounce for ounce, than any other leading cola drink. That's right. No other leading cola can say that, but Pepsi-Cola. Proven highest quality and homogenized for finer, smoother flavor. More bounce to the ounce. That's Pepsi. Now everybody, listen later in this program for a sensational special offer from Pepsi-Cola. Meanwhile, remember, get more bounce to the ounce. Get delicious, ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And now to Counter Spy.
Two a.m. A low-hanging haze clings to the surface of New York's East River. All is quiet except for the lapping of the water against the dock and the occasional wail of a tugboat whistle in the distance. Suddenly, the thick silence is broken by the low purr of a motorboat engine.
See the pier number yet, Joe?
Not yet, Bugs. Keep her turning over.
All right.
That looks like the right pier, Bugs. There's a ladder. At the motor. Stay with the tiller. We got enough speed to drift into position.
Okay.
Yes, hold her steady, Bugs, against the dock.
Right, Joe. Should I tie up?
Yeah, I'll climb up the ladder first, make sure it's the right pier. This is it, Bugs. Tie up and come up.
Right away.
They are imported furs, bales of them waiting to be moved, just like Lloyd said.
He sure gets the straight dope.
Yeah. Let's get them over to the edge of the pier, and we'll lower them into the boat.
Right, I'll pick up.
It's the watchman. Come on, Bugs, behind this bale of furs with me.
Yeah. Drink with him, Joe.
I'll let him lay. We'll keep an eye on him.
I'll give him one more with my foot to make sure he sleeps solid.
That's enough, Bugs. Let's get to work. There's $60,000 worth of furs on this dock, and Lloyd don't want us to miss a dime's worth.
On the Bonner Fur Finishing Company.
Good.
Looks it. They finish the furs for a very smart New York fur salon, Lloyd's of Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the samples we bought there check with the laboratory reports on the stolen furs.
You got a tail on Lloyd?
We can pick him up now if we want to.
No, Peters. We've got to make a thorough cleanup in this case. The crooks, the sellers, and the buyers.
A lot of money involved, Dave?
Well, not only the money, Peters, our trade relations with friendly countries. These robberies are leading to ill feeling and international lawsuits. That's why I want to wash this up once and for all, so there'll be no hangover.
I see.
Now, we'll stake out this Bonner Company, get photographs of everyone who does business with them. We'll have agents with our new miniature cameras cover the place like a blanket.
The company's building is located in the suburbs of New York City. You want to look it over yourself and plan the stakeout?
Yes. We've got to get photographs that'll convict everyone who does business with the Bonner Company, as well as the fancy Mr. Lloyd himself.
Good morning, Adele. Joseph's expecting me.
You both are. He's in the private office.
Well, let's go in.
Joe, he's here.
Huh? Ah. Hello, Mr. Lloyd.
Hello, Joseph.
That's the newest fad up on Park Avenue these days, sporting a cane.
Does it annoy you?
Yeah, makes me happy. Did you get rid of the furs from that pier job?
Naturally.
For how much?
$60,000.
That's full market value.
Of course it is. Lloyd's of Park Avenue never cuts prices.
Work it over, Mr. Lloyd.
I intend to. $20,000, the usual one-third.
Not any longer, Mr. Lloyd.
What?
Adele and I have been figuring the divvy ain't right.
Oh?
We do the dirty work, heist the furs and process them in this stinking building out here in Queens.
So?
You just sit in that fancy Park Avenue saloon of yours, peddling them to beat up biddies. Air conditioned, no less.
What do you want, Joseph? Air conditioning?
No, two-thirds.
Very funny. Now, if you'll step aside, I have to fit a patron at my saloon. I don't want to be late.
You don't leave until we settle this, Mr. Lloyd.
There's nothing to settle. Step aside, Joseph.
No.
And keep your hands off me.
Easy, half-pipe.
Let go.
Get down in that chair. That's better.
Joseph, you'll regret this.
Maybe you'll regret it more. Now, I wouldn't want to muss up that pretty face of yours. Two-thirds for us, and we're all friends again. And stop shoving that cane in my face.
Look at it more closely, Joseph. Notice the opening in the end?
What?
Joe, it's a gun.
Right, girl, Adele. This cane is really a disguised gun.
Lloyd.
Not 3 inches from your throat, Joseph.
Take it away, Mr. Lloyd.
Back up, Joseph. That's the way. Against the wall. Push on this little button at the handle would make you a very bloody spectacle, Joseph. Easy, Adele. I don't want my hand to slip.
Please, Lloyd, take it away.
I will, Joseph. When you get this clear, This is my operation. I finance it. I tip you off when furs are due in. I sell them once they're stolen. You're merely my workhorse.
Sure, Mr. Lloyd, sure.
You remember that?
Yeah, only take that thing away from my throat.
Very well. One mistake is permitted, Joseph. I'll take it away this time, particularly since I'll have work for you to do shortly.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd, you're the boss. Same setup, same split.
Bright's boy, Joseph. Don't change your mind, because the next time you see the end of this cane, a bullet will be spitting out of it.
What's bad, Dave? The Bonner Company is the only building within four square blocks of these vacant lots. A flea couldn't be inconspicuous out here.
Just across from the Bonner Building, that newsstand right by the subway entrance.
Think we can use it?
Pull up to the stand. I'll buy a paper.
All right.
All right, morning papers. Get your paper here.
Son?
All right with you, mister. What'll it be, mister?
Times and the Tribune.
Sure thing.
Dave, maybe we could set an agent to take over this stand.
Might make these fur thieves suspicious.
It's a chance.
Here you are, mister. Times and Tribune.
Thanks. Hey, keep the change.
Thanks.
That's a nice spot you got here. End of a subway line, end of a bus line, no competition. You been in this spot for long?
3 years.
Well, been in business a long time, huh? What's your name?
Eddie Sloan.
Well, good luck, Eddie. Maybe I'll be seeing you again.
Sure. I'm always here, mister. So long.
So long.
What are you reading?
Let's go, Peters.
What are you thinking about, Dave? Using the kid?
Yes. From his stand, he could snap anyone who walked in or out of that building.
Looks like our best bet. He could operate the new camera, all right. It's simple enough.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. Find out where he lives, his family, all about him. Then bring him in the office tomorrow. If he's as bright and as able as he seems, we'll add a slightly underage counter-spy to our staff.
Bonner Fur Company.
Joseph, this is Lloyd.
Oh, yes, Mr. Lloyd.
A little information.
More furs coming in?
Yes. The Bay Trading Company has a carload of furs on the way. Shipped by train across country from Seattle. They're due to arrive at the East Shore Freight Yards tonight. They won't be unloaded until morning.
Officially, that is.
Quite right, Joseph. They'll be in a refrigerated Yukon Pacific boxcar. Number 6220.
6220, got it.
Good. I'll leave it to you to make the usual arrangements.
Eddie? This is Mr. Harding.
David Harding?
That's right, Eddie.
Then, Mr. Peters, you weren't conning me and my uncle. You really are counter spies.
I wasn't conning you, Eddie.
Gosh.
Sit down, Eddie.
Well, yeah, sure.
Peters, have you told Eddie and his uncle what we wanted him for?
Just a little. Eddie's uncle says the decision is up to Eddie, as long as it's safe.
That's fair enough. Eddie, what do you know about the counter spies?
Gosh, everything.
Everything?
I mean everything that's been on the radio or in the papers. I follow every case you're on.
Oh, that's flattering.
Very.
Oh, that last case, with the hijackers and those cameras, I followed it all.
Well, I'm glad you did, Eddie. Would you like to see the new cameras we used?
You bet.
Peters, there are some cameras and packages of film in that cabinet.
Right away. Hey, ready? Take a look at it.
Boy, it's keen. You could take pictures without hardly anybody knowing you were taking them.
Well, that's just what it was designed for, Eddie. In fact, that's what we'd like you to do.
Me?
Yes, Eddie.
Gosh, me helping the counter spies. What do you want me to do,
Mr.
Hardy?
Well, not so fast, Eddie. I want to make sure you understand this might be a little dangerous.
I ain't afraid.
Well, you should be, Eddie. It's always good to be afraid. Then you'll be careful.
Oh.
Now that we've slowed down, we'll go into the details. Now, first the camera. Go ahead and pick it up, Eddie.
It's a beaut.
Mm-hmm. And simple to operate.
You see, Eddie, it's precision design, made to be foolproof. Because lots of times we have to use that camera under very difficult circumstances.
I see, sir.
Now, what we want you to do, Eddie, is take pictures of everyone who goes into that building opposite your newsstand.
Of the fur company.
That's right, Eddie. The Bonner Building.
Crooks, huh?
Well, that's what we hope to prove by your pictures, Eddie.
They're fur thieves, Eddie. And the men going in will be going there to buy stolen goods.
And we want to catch the buyers as well as the actual crooks.
I'll do whatever you say, Mr. Hardy.
Good boy. Now, you won't be entirely alone.
No?
No, I've arranged to replace the agent in the subway station change booth with one of our counter spies. From time to time, he'll come up to see whether everything's all right.
I can take care of myself.
Oh, I'm sure you can, Eddie, but we'll just play it safe. Now, you'll have to conceal the camera so it won't be obvious to anyone that you're taking pictures.
Oh, I could cover it with a newspaper.
Well, the newspaper could blow away or the camera might slip out.
That's right.
Well, how about my change box? I use a wooden box. I could get another one, cut a hole in it, and sight it through the hole.
Well, that sounds like a better idea.
And I'll take good care of the camera. I won't drop it or
not. Well, don't worry about that. It's very strongly built. Well, now, Eddie, when you've taken all the films on the roll, you'll remove the roll. Mr. Peters or I will come along at the end of the day, and we'll buy a newspaper. Include the rolls with the paper.
I start right away, Mr. Hardy?
Right away, Eddie.
Here's your camera, Eddie.
Gee, thanks.
And plenty of film. Now, Eddie, if you get the right pictures with this new counter-spy camera, you'll be going a long way toward helping us solve this case. In fact, everything depends on you.
Everybody listen for the amazing Pepsi-Cola offer mentioned earlier in this program. For a few days only, you can actually get a genuine, instant-action counter-spy candid-type camera. Yes, a real super-speed snapshot camera that takes wonderful, clear, sharp, black-and-white pictures. Now yours for only 50 cents and one bottle top from Pepsi-Cola. Did you ever hear anything so amazing? And you'll be even more amazed when I tell you all the high-quality features usually found on expensive imported cameras. Genuine Plano convex double-element lens. Genuine beauty finish photographic black plastic case. 16 pictures, not just 8, on every reel of film. And mind you, that's standard size film that you can get at your nearby camera store. Takes pictures 1 1/4 inches by 1 5/8 inches. So clear, you can actually have them enlarged. Instant eye-level viewfinder that shows exactly the picture you're taking. Instantaneous 1/25th of a second speed shutter. Fixed, sure focus that needs no adjustment. Just the thing to take to the beach with a carton of Pepsi-Cola. In fact, this is such a wonderful camera, it's guaranteed for 1 year against mechanical defects. It's selling in stores right now for much more, but listen, here's all you do. Send only 50 cents in coin with your name and address, and only one Pepsi-Cola bottle top to Counter Spy Headquarters, Box 12, New York 8, New York. Now please print your name and address clearly, and be sure to enclose 50 cents. Your Counter Spy candid-style camera will be sent post-paid, but don't delay. This offer must be limited. Send for your camera now. Remember, I'll repeat that address later. And now, back to Counter Spy.
There's the entrance, Joe, the East Shore Freight Yards.
Drive right in, Bucks.
Yeah, but there's a watchman on duty. I cased
him. I know, just drive right in.
All right.
I heard. Stop for him.
What?
Stop.
Uh,
Now, just where do you fellas think you're going?
You the yard watchman?
That's right.
You're the guy I want to see. I'm from Bay Trading Company. Here's my loading bill.
So?
We're working overtime. Supposed to pick up a load of furs from refrigerator car 6220. You know where it is?
Sure. It's right down the yard a bit. I'll hop on the running board and direct you.
Thanks.
No, just go straight ahead. I'll tell you when to turn. All right, slow down. Slow down. Turn right across the tracks ahead. All right, there she is. 6220. You can back right up to the doors.
Thanks, Pop.
It's a sealed car, you know.
We'll get it open all right, Pop. Like this. All right, come on, Bugs. Roll them over in the shadow. I'll break the seal and we'll start unloading.
Oh, you got nerve, Joe. Just walking right in.
It's the only way to pull a job. Make them think it's legitimate, and you'll even get the mayor to help load the truck. Anybody else shows up, we're just working overtime. Catch. Now, let's get started. We got a lot of overtime to put in. $100,000 worth.
Here you are, Dave. Enlargements of the pictures Eddie took yesterday. Those cameras do a wonderful job.
Yes, Peters. And Eddie's no expert. But still, these photographs show every detail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can work these cameras.
There are 32 photographs. We've identified 24 of the men as supposedly legitimate fur dealers.
Well, we'll investigate and put agents on them. Tell the agents to stand by for a pickup order.
Right, Chief.
A couple more days of Eddie's camera work, and we'll be ready to round up everyone who's had dealings with this mob.
Give me a news, kid.
Sure, mister. Here.
Half a buck. I'll take change from the...
No, don't.
I'm sorry, kid. I thought that was your change box. It's a nice camera.
Yeah. My hobby. Here you are, mister. 47 cents.
Thanks. So long, kid.
Another guy. Got it. Now this guy.
You take a lot of pictures, kid.
Huh?
I've been watching you for the past 10 minutes. What's the idea?
What do you mean?
Taking pictures of everyone who goes into the fur company.
Who says I do?
Don't get wise, kid.
I told you, this camera's my hobby.
Take it easy, kid, or I'll break it. Go on, get going. You got some talking to do.
Lloyd, this coat doesn't seem to do anything for my figure.
But Mrs. Vanderpool, why tamper with perfection? And that, in a word, is your figure.
Now, Lloyd.
I mean it.
I could show you several other fur coats we have in the salon, but this coat is simply stunning. You set it off beautifully.
You really think so?
Mrs. Vanderpool, I know women. I know furs. I know beauty. At the moment, you are the highest form of all three.
It's so wonderful to deal with you, Lloyd. You understand me. The real me. Now, my husband doesn't...
Oh, pardon me, Mrs. Vanderpool. I'll return in a moment.
Of course.
Lloyd of Park Avenue speaking. Oh. What? I see you. All right. I'll be right over.
Now, Lloyd...
Mrs. Vanderpool, if you'll excuse me, one of the girls will take care of you.
Girls?
I'm so sorry. Urgent business.
Oh,
But I'll see you soon, perhaps for lunch sometime.
Oh, lunch. That would be splendid.
I'm sure it would. Till then, Mrs. Vanderpool, au revoir.
Harding speaking.
This is Saunders reporting from the subway booth, Mr. Harding.
Oh, yes, Saunders?
The newsboy's gone.
What?
Yes, Mr. Harding, I was delayed on my half-an-hour check. People want to change. It's been 45 minutes since I last saw the boy.
45 minutes? Saunders, I told you...
Well, Mr. Harding...
Look, never mind. Stay there on duty. Peters, did you get that about Eddie Sloan?
Yes, Dave.
Alert the rating squad. We've got to move in on that fur company right away. Before, it was a question of chiseling crooks and tax evaders, but now it's a boy's life. I wouldn't risk that for all the crooks in creation. Get the squad moving, fast.
Buck, you stay out here with Adele.
Okay,
the kid's in the next room, Mr. Lloyd.
All right, Joseph. And Bugs, don't think. Please don't ever think again.
Well, I thought you'd want to know. That's why I brought the kid over.
Please close your moronic mouth or I'll close it for you. Come on, Joseph.
Hey, what you got here, Pete? I got a newsstand to take care of.
This is the little beast, eh, Joseph?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'll ask the questions. Why were you taking pictures of this establishment?
It's a hobby.
Don't be insolent, you little brat.
Can't talk to me like that.
I'll do much worse if you don't answer my questions promptly and truthfully.
I don't know what you're all excited about. Guy takes pictures and you think he was robbing a bank.
Any particular reason for that reference to robbery?
What?
Listen, you little devil. Obviously, someone put you up to taking pictures. I wish to know who.
I told you, it's my own hobby.
Joseph, grab that brat's shoulders.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
Hey, cut it out.
Turn him over that chair. See if a little caning will loosen his tongue.
Let me go.
All right, you little beast. You ready to tell me who put you up to this?
I wouldn't tell you the time of day.
Very well. Joseph, we'll just...
Yeah.
No! Mr. Lloyd!
What's that?
Adele, I don't...
All right, you two. Stand where you are.
Mr. Harding.
Harding.
Counter spies. Now we know the answer.
Yes, Lloyd, we've been on your trail for a long time.
And I got lots of pictures, Mr. Harding. About 20 guys went in this morning.
Good, Eddie. When we confront them with that evidence, I'm sure they'll all be willing to talk about their dealings with Mr. Lloyd.
I won't be here to listen, Mr. Harding.
What?
This cane pointing at the boy's throat is a concealed gun.
Well, you...
Move, Mr. Harding, and I'll blow this urchin's dirty little throat apart. Joseph, relieve Mr. Harding of his gun.
Okay, Mr. Harding. Thanks.
Now, Mr. Harding, you'll do as I say, or I'll slaughter the brat with the greatest of pleasure. That's better.
Mr. Harding.
Yes, silence, you little beast.
Now what, Lloyd?
Start walking. In front of me. That's right. Through that door.
Duck, Eddie! Let go of this cane!
Watch it, Peter!
I'll kill both of you!
No, you don't, Joe! I'll take back my gun!
Let go of my cane!
Not this time, Lloyd!
Close. Nice work, Peters. You got Lloyd.
Couldn't shoot before, Dave. You might have gotten Eddie. Stood by the door and grabbed the cane gun when he came out.
I'm one guy who's glad you did.
And so am I, Peters. Come on, Eddie, let's go. We'll take Joe and Adele along. And don't forget that camera, Eddie. Those pictures are going to help increase our prison population.
Now, everybody, act immediately. Send only 50 cents. With your name and address clearly printed, and only one Pepsi-Cola bottle top for your genuine counter-spy candid-type camera, the same type David Harding used in the episode you just heard. Send to Counter-Spy Headquarters, Box 12, New York 8, New York. That's Box 12, New York 8, New York. And remember,
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. Truthful glasses, that's a lot. Lot more value, lot more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, same station, to Counter Spy. Listen on Thursday for the exciting counter spy case of the International Intrigue.
A case involving such elements as a hidden chateau in the mountains, an X-ray picture of special teeth, and a scientist who died and came to life. Your counter spies will never forget this attempt on one of our most precious security secrets. Be sure to be listening Thursday, day after tomorrow, for
Case of the International Intrigue on Counter Spy. Tonight's Counter Spy program originated in New York, was directed by Leonard L. Bass, dramatized by Palmer Thompson, and featured Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer, with music by Jesse Crawford. Bob Shepard speaking. Counter Spy is a Phillips H. Lord production for Pepsi-Cola. Enjoy some Pepsi ice cold tonight.
The Case of the Photograph Furrier on Counter Spy from 1949. I'm going to take a moment here to remind you that you can hear old-time radio on our internet radio station, the Radio Theater Channel. That's at theradiotheaterchannel.com or oldtimeradiolisten.com. There you'll find the schedule and some great listening all throughout the week. And don't forget to come back here to hear more great stuff when you're done with that. Like Murder Clinic, that's what's coming up next, and Death in the Dressing Room from 1942.
Murder Clinic, stories of the world's great detectives, men against murder. Each week at this time, WOR Mutual turns the spotlight on one of the world's great detectives of fiction, and invites you to listen to the story of his most exciting case. Tonight, we meet Sir Henry Merivale, known to his host of friends as H.M., in the story, Death in the Dressing Room. Good evening, H.M. Tell me, you were with Scotland Yard for a long time before you retired, weren't you?
I was indeed, Mr. Knight.
And didn't I hear that you ran some sort of a secret department for them?
Well, there was nothing secret about it. You see, it was called the Department of Queer Complaints. All the crackpots were sent in to me. As a matter of fact, that's how I happened to be on the spot when this nightclub murder took place. You see, I was there investigating one of our queer complaints that didn't seem to have anything to do with murder. And, well, suppose I begin at the beginning, eh? You know how sometimes a nightclub will catch the public's fancy, a place to see and be seen at? Well, at the time of this story, the Orient Club in London was having just such a season, flourishing like the proverbial Green Bay tree. Tony Kaplan, who ran it, was a smooth, slippery customer, Piccadilly by the way of Times Square in Monte Carlo. And he did have one big drawing card, the star of his show, by the way, another Times Square product, Francine Rapport. She was a great dancer. On the afternoon of the day in question, Tony Kaplan was rehearsing Francine.
Francine, what's the matter with you? You're introducing this Javanese temple dance tonight. Come on, quit clowning and get with it, will you?
Oh, let's cut it out, Tony. It's too corny. Standing in the middle of the floor, waving your arms around like snakes. That went out with the art.
They'll eat it up. Listen, Francine, since when did you start masterminding your routine? You dance and leave the thinking to me.
Oh, yes? Well, maybe I don't like the way you've been thinking lately, Tony. And maybe I don't like the way you've been acting either. Where were you last night after the show?
Oh, nuts. Let's not go through that dialogue again. Put on another record.
Well, don't get any big ideas under that patent leather hair of yours. I got plenty on you, Tony, and I might use it. If you make me, see?
Yes, yes, I see. Another thing I see is that I pay the orchestra to rehearse, not to referee a love match. Now, come on, let's try that ending again. Okay, fellas, okay. The job number. Pick it up 8 bars from the finish.
Okay, girl.
That's it, friend.
now you've got it. A one and two and finish. Ah, swell, swell. See, I told you it'd be good.
Okay, but I still think it's right from the silo.
Now, let's try it with that blue spotlight.
Blue spotlight? Are you nuts, Tony? You know what blue does to me.
Look, Fran, it's got to be blue. This number's supposed to be mysterious, see?
Oh.
All the lights out and just that blue baby spot on you. Don't forget you're covered from head to foot with those jewels.
You mean I'm covered from head to foot with that stinking oil?
All right.
I tell you, Tony, it gets all over me. When I finish, I feel like I've been in an oil well.
So what? You can wash it off after the number. Well, it's the only thing that'll make those cheap sparklers gleam. Now quit beefing, Fran. This number will knock them dead.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
I always do, baby. Okay, boys, from the beginning now, please.
Can I speak to you for a minute?
Why, Paula, you can do more than that to me, beautiful. Come over here. What's on your mind, sugar?
It's that costume of Miss Francine. You know, it's just net. And with all those phony jewels on it, Tony, I won't be able to get her into it fast.
Oh, forget the costume, baby. Concentrate on yours truly for a change. You know, honey, you do things to me.
Mr. Tony, please. Not here. Simon will see you. Miss Francine, she's looking.
I'll let her look. I'm crazy about you, baby. You know that, don't you?
But Tony, Miss Francine...
Leave that to me, baby. Little Tony will fix everything, everything. See?
You will make Paula the great dancer, no?
I'll do more than that. You'll have cars, jewels, furs, the works.
Careful, Tony. She's coming.
Stop that music. Stop the music. Say, what's going on here between you two? Paula, I told you to stay in the dressing room and finish my costume, didn't I?
Yes, ma'am. It was just that I wanted to ask Mr. Kaplan a question about it.
Oh, yes? Well, ask me from now on. You've been asking Mr. Kaplan a lot of questions lately, and he's been giving you an awful lot of answers.
Oh, come on, Fran. Can't a guy be polite to a nice little girl?
Not when he works so hard at it. You lay off, do you hear? Next time I catch her hanging around you, little Paula won't live here anymore.
All right, all right. Now, if you'll take my advice, you'll put your other expression back on, and Connie, you got company. Don't look now. I think the white hope of the Forsythe fortune is headed this way.
Monty?
The kid himself, the heir to the Forsythe. Just about ready for the squeeze play. What do you think, Fran? Will the fish bite?
If he won't, I will. Why, Monty, how sweet of you to drop in.
Francine, I've got to see you now. I've got to talk to you.
Why, of course, Monty. Sure, Mr. Kaplan can hold up the rehearsal for a few minutes.
Oh, why, certainly, certainly. Boys, suppose we run over that hula now.
Let's go to my dressing room. It's cozy up there. Well, Monty, suppose you've come to talk to me about those letters again.
But, Francine, you don't understand. Those letters are very important to me.
But, sugar, they're very important to me, too. They're so sweet. I've never had such letters before.
That's just it, Francine. You see, I'm in the diplomatic service. If those letters ever get out... Well, I mean, they aren't very discreet. It would mean the end of my career almost before I started.
Mm, yes, I see it. Wouldn't be so good if anybody else saw them. Well, I guess you can have them back.
Oh, Francine, you're wonderful. I knew you'd understand. I knew you'd give them back to me.
Give them back? Well, it amounts to that, I guess, but... There's a favor I've got to ask of you in return, Monty.
Of course, Francine, anything.
Well, you see, I'm afraid I've been a bit extravagant lately, and I'm terribly hard up.
I see. Yes, I see perfectly. How much?
Now, don't be mad, sugar. It's only £1,000.
£1,000? But that's impossible. I haven't that much money. I wouldn't know where to get it.
That's your business, Mr. Diplomat. Why, I'm giving you a bargain. That's because I like you so much. Why, just think what the Daily Comet would pay me for...
All right, you win. But I've got to have time.
Why, of course, sugar. You can have plenty of time. Shall we say, tonight?
Tonight?
Yes, tonight. After my first show. The dough is to be in an unmarked wallet. And whoever brings it walks up to Tony Kaplan and says, I beg your pardon, you dropped your wallet.
Kaplan? So he's in on it, too. I might have known. A pretty little game.
Yes, we thought so too, but now I'm tired of playing. So don't you forget. Bring that £1,000 tonight, or else. Make it after my first show, here at the Orient Club.
I'm sorry, sir, there are no tables.
What would I say, Armand?
Sorry, sir, we are entirely full.
Armand, please.
Sorry, madame, but you see. Oh, good evening, Sir Henry.
Well, Armand, you have my regular table, of course.
But of course, monsieur.
Ah, fine.
Well, Sir Henry Merivale, there is always the table. Right this way, if you please, monsieur.
Ah, you see, there you are, Matthews. Simple when you know how, isn't it?
Yes.
Come along.
By Jove, Chief, I don't see how you do it.
Don't you? Personality, my boy. Personality, only that.
Here you are, Sir Henry. Table 16 as usual.
Ah, very good, Armand. Thank you. Oh, here.
Thank you, monsieur.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, I got your message to meet you here, H.M. I must admit, I don't know why we're here, sir. Are we, slumming?
Why, not exactly. We're here, Matthews, because this club, the Orient, is run by two of the slickest crooks I'd ever had the pleasure of knowing.
Really?
Tony Kaplan and Francine Rapport. And because Scotland Yard has complaints about a new and highly ingenious racket they're presumably working. Pocket picking in the futurist manner.
What? I'm afraid I don't understand, sir.
Well, let me explain. You see, a guest here with a good many drinks inside him seldom remembers exactly how much money he has in his wallet. Now, if that wallet is lifted and deftly returned minus £3, say, or a fiver, he simply assumes he must have spent it.
I see.
The method is harmless and very nearly undetectable, but the takings each week must be enormous.
Very ingenious.
Yes, isn't it? I say, there's an interesting looking girl. That one in white at the next table.
What? Why, H.M.
Eh? Oh, no, I don't mean aesthetically. In this case, I mean professionally. She's just dropped a man-sized wallet on the floor. She seemed very nervous when she picked it up again. I wonder...
A man's wallet? What would she be doing with a man's wallet?
I'm sure I don't know, but I mean to find out.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
The floor show is about to start.
Tonight, Francine offers for your approval for the first time a new dance. The Chavanese Temple Dance.
I say, Jim.
Yes?
Look, that girl in white we were just talking about. She's leaving her table. She's going into the bar. Follow her, man. Find out where she's going and report to me.
Right, sir. Say, bartender. Did a lady in white just come in here?
Yes, sir. She went in there, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, you can't go in there, sir.
I think I can. Here. I'm a police officer.
Oh, police.
Yes. Where does that door lead to?
To the dressing room, sir.
Oh, I see. But the girl did go in there.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Out of my way, please.
Yes, sir.
Let me by, please.
Wait a minute. Not so fast, young lady. Would you mind telling me what you did with that wallet you put in your handbag a minute ago?
Wallet? Really? What wallet?
Now, look. I'm a police officer.
Oh, I see. One of those persons who have a good time here and then arrest the management for selling drinks after hours.
No, I have nothing to do with that. But would you mind explaining what you were doing with that wallet?
I suppose I'll have to. I picked it up off the floor.
Oh, picked it up?
Yes, it's quite true. Not being able to appreciate the charms of Miss Francine Rapport, which evidently stagger you men so, I went to the bar during her dance. On the way, I picked up the wallet.
Naturally, when the lights went up, I wanted to find the proper owner.
And why didn't you?
Well, what do you think I'm doing here? This Rapport, I understand, is part owner here. I'm sorry if the proper procedure is to stand on the table and shout that you've found a wallet. I thought of taking it to Miss Rapport.
Oh, I see. And did you give it to her?
No, she isn't here. Evidently, she didn't come back here after her dance. Perhaps you'll be good enough to let me pass so I can take the wallet to Mr. Kaplan.
Now, just a minute, please.
Oh, right, you can come with me.
No, let's say you come with me. We're going back to Francine's dressing room.
No, I won't.
Come with me, I said. Is this Miss Rapport's dressing room?
Yes.
Well, then, we'll soon find out if she's here or not, eh?
You see, I told her she wasn't here.
Yes, so you did. But if you don't mind, I think I'll just make sure.
Wait, you can't go in there.
Huh? Well, who are you?
Paula, Miss Rapport's maid.
Oh, then, open the door. I'm a police officer, and I want to see her.
But you can't.
Come along.
Very well.
What's this? Oh. She's dead.
I didn't do it. I swear I didn't do it.
Murdered. Stabbed in the back with a pair of scissors.
Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
Stay where you are, both of you.
And now, folks, the medley of Jackson and hits, beginning with the favorite of yesterday and today, Whispering.
Close that door, please. Right now, you. You told me your name is Paula. Miss Rapport's maid?
Yes, sir.
Were you here when Miss Rapport came back from her dance a few minutes ago?
No. No, I was not. I can prove I was not. She met me at the end of the passageway. Gave me a message to take her to Mr. Kaplan to come back and see her. I went and told him. I was out there. Mr. Kaplan can tell you that.
All right now, all right. Steady. Paula, do you know where table 16 is?
Yes, sir.
All right, at table 16, you'll find a big, heavy-set man with a sandy, ruddy complexion. His name is Sir Henry Merivale. Ask him if he'll come in here right away, will you? But don't say a word about this to anyone else. Have you got that?
Yes, sir.
Can't I go now? Please, I can't stand looking at her there.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to remain where you are.
See, this in her hand.
Gap of paper, hmm? Evidently left when the murderer snatched the rest of it from her grasp. Got to see you, ever, your adoring Monte.
Monte?
Oh, you know him.
No, I don't.
But you knew she was dead. Why didn't you tell me? You must have known I saw you come out of this room.
You think I'm insane. You'd only have thought what you're thinking now. But I didn't kill her. I came in here and I found her dead. All I wanted to do was to get away. I don't expect you to believe that. I probably wouldn't believe it myself if I were in your place.
Then, what about that wallet?
It's Tony Kaplan's wallet. You might as well know now.
Oh, you stole it.
No, I didn't steal it. He dropped it.
He dropped it,
I tell you.
You still got the wallet?
Well,
You better let me have it.
Oh, here it is.
Thank you. £1,000.
What's going on here?
Who are you?
Steady, Captain. Don't touch anything.
She's dead. Francine.
Yes, Captain. We just...
They got her. She was all I had. Who did it? Tell me. Who did it?
Easy,
Captain. I'll kill him. Who's that girl?
I can't.
What's she doing here?
Well, she told me she'd found your wallet.
Yes, that's right. Now, Mr. Matthew, you can clear up one thing. I mean about that wallet. Mr. Kaplan can clear it up. I saw him drop it. He can tell you who I am, too. He can vouch for me.
All right, Kaplan.
What?
Is this your wallet?
What wallet? Where? What are you talking about?
Does this wallet belong to you?
Certainly not.
Oh, I suppose you'll say that you don't know why I'm here, either.
Madam, I don't know what you're talking about. I only know that Francine is dead. Dead, do you understand? I love Francine. I come in here to find her dead with a pair of scissors. And all you people could do is babble about a wallet. Oh, I don't know who you are. I never saw you before in my life. Did you kill her? Did you?
Did you?
I've done a lot of things in my life.
judge by the number of police in my club tonight, they think I've done a lot more. But I couldn't have killed Francine. I never left that orchestra platform from the time Francine was dancing till just a moment ago. 50 people will testify to that. Once in my life, I'm in the clear when dirty work's been done. This kind of dirty work, this kind.
What kind of dirty work, Tony?
Who are you?
Sir Henry. Oh, boy, Chief, am I glad to see you.
Why, thank you, Jim.
Hello, copper. Come to run us all in?
No. Francine's maid told me. I've telephoned divisional headquarters about our unfortunate homicide here. Sure. They'll take charge. No, I really came to break up your newest and, I think, most ingenious racket.
I don't get you.
This is a test for the air raid warning protection. This is a test. There is no air raid at this time. The First Fighter Command, New York, requests that all radio broadcast stations receiving this test transmit time when signal was received by telegraph to First Fighter Command, New York. These tests will continue at certain intervals. If it is ever necessary to close broadcast stations due to enemy air raid attack, your station will make a short announcement of the fact when it goes off the air. This is only a test. Thank you.
This wallet contains the blackmail money that Kaplan and Miss Rapport wanted from your brother for his letters to Miss Rapport, isn't it?
No, no.
You're crazy.
You were instructed to hand the money to Kaplan in public in the presence of witnesses in a wallet with a little speech. This is your wallet, isn't it?
It's not
true. You can't get away
with it. You went to give it to him by the orchestra platform, but at the last minute you lost your nerve, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
So you followed Francine in here and tried to fling it at her instead.
You're trying to trick me.
That's another one of their little games. Nice, safe blackmail. They used to pull that one in Paris.
You're going a little fast, aren't you, copper? You could get into trouble, you know, talking like that. Making accusations you can't prove out of nothing.
Not exactly nothing, Anthony. Monty Forsyth telephoned us, but then he lost his nerve and refused to set a trap. There was nothing else we could do about it.
Well, what else could I do? I had to get back those letters Monty wrote her. He won't help himself, and I...
Again, Miss Forsyth, I seem to have made a fool of myself. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Mr. Matthews. You may not have caught a pickpocket, but how do you know you haven't caught a murderess? Look there at that piece of paper in Francine's hand. That's torn off one of my brother's letters, and our wonderful Mr. Kaplan knows it as well as I do.
I don't know what Francine was up to. About letters, that is. She wanted to sell some letters. That was her business. But if there were letters, where are they now?
Well, here's part of one, at any rate. You know, strange what soft hands and arms Francine had. By the way, Miss Forsyth, did you get the letters?
No, no, no. I told you. She was dead when I got here. I was only here half a minute anyway. I haven't got any letters. Well, you can search me if you like. Kaplan had the letters. He probably still has them.
I never had any letters. Maybe your brother got them. Didn't this copper say he's here tonight? What's his alibi?
You know you really are a nasty bit of work.
That may be. We're none of us perfect, not even you. But you see, Miss So-and-so, you're in a jam, a bad jam. Now, I'm not in a jam at all. I didn't kill that poor kid. I couldn't have killed her. The coppers themselves will tell you I never left that orchestra platform at any time.
Is that true?
Yes, it's quite true.
See?
No, I don't see. All I know is that it cost Monty and me nearly everything we've got to scrape that money together. There must be lots of poor fools like us. The clever ones of this world have it all their own way, haven't they?
Oh, I think not, Miss Forsyth. No. Come in. Oh, it's you, Paula. Come in and close that door, please. Paula. Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
Maybe you have. I was at the Tin Hat Club 2-3 years.
No, I've never been at the Tin Hat Club. No. And I've seen you more recently than that.
I don't know.
Very well, we'll skip that. How many dressing rooms are there here?
Two besides this.
Any other principals aside from Miss Rapport?
No.
And the chorus girls, did they change in these rooms?
I'll answer any of your
questions. I'm talking to Paula now.
No, on the other side. Miss Rapport not let them.
When did you last see Miss Rapport alive?
I passed here when she came back off the floor. She gave me a message for Mr. Captain.
Ah, so you have an alibi too, eh? Tony, you're a good dance director, aren't you?
Yes, I guess so. What's that got to do with it?
Do you suppose you could teach Paula here to do that temple dance, now that Francine won't be able to dance it any longer?
Oh, I suppose it. Look here, H.M., what are you getting at?
In fact, you've already taught her, haven't you, Tony?
No, certainly not.
Did you notice the dance finished three measures too soon tonight, Tony? Didn't that worry you?
Have you gone up your rocker?
I think not. Let me have a look at your hands, Paula.
My hands?
Yes, both of them.
If you're saying Paula had anything to do with killing Francine, you're wrong. She was out on the dance floor with me the whole time. 50 witnesses can prove it.
No doubt.
And if you're saying she's a pickpocket, you must be completely off your nut. What do you think you'll find in her hand anyway? Beeswax?
No, not at all. No, only oil.
Oil?
You're quite right. She was out on that dance floor the entire time. She's got oil on her hands and arms, Tony. How did she get it there?
Let me alone.
How should I?
I'll tell you. From the oil that was smeared on those jewels on her costume while she was on that floor dancing. Why was she out there dancing instead of Francine, Tony? Or shall I tell you that, too?
You're crazy.
Because Francine was in here, dead. Wasn't she, Tony?
No.
You killed Francine before the dance.
No.
Then you went out to the bandstand and Paula took Francine's place. You were sure no one would recognize her in that dark blue light with her Japanese headdress on.
No.
Paula, keep your trap shut.
Everybody assumed it was Francine, would swear they saw her alive. And everybody would swear they saw you out there all the time. A pretty alibi, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. I got a swell alibi, copper. Try and break it down.
Well, Paula, who is it to be? You or him?
No, I didn't kill her.
He'll rat on you, Paula. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I'll tell.
Why, you black-hearted, double-crossing rat.
He did our captain, or you'll get hurt.
He killed her. He killed her with scissors. He say you dance. Nothing happened. He promised marry me. I do nothing.
All right. Constable.
You called me?
Yes, Constable. Take them away.
Yeah,
a nasty customer, Jim.
Right, sir. They both are. And it was lucky for you, Paula didn't have time to wash that oil off her arms. You might never have caught her.
Yes, that helped. But it was plain from the first that there'd been a substitution of identities.
For the first, Sir Henry?
Yes.
Well, I don't see how.
Well, Jim, as you know, I have an eye for a pretty girl, but that's not all. Whatever you might say about Francine Rapport, she was a magnificent dancer. I didn't know who it was dancing out there tonight, but I knew it wasn't Francine.
You have been listening to Murder Clinic. Murder Clinic, the WOR Mutual series, which brings you each week one exciting case, one member from the select band of the world's great detectives. Next week, Murder Clinic will bring you one of the best-known and best-beloved figures in all crime fiction, Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot, the man with the little gray cells. The story is the tragedy at Marsden Manor, in which Poirot double-crosses a double-crosser. Tonight's detective was H.M. Merivale, played by Roland Winters. Original music was composed by Ralph Barnhart and conducted by Bob Stanley. This program was an international exchange feature over the coast-to-coast network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Tales told on Murder Clinic are adapted by authors Lee Wright and John A. Bassett. Murder Clinic is produced under the direction of Alvin Flanagan. Frank Knight speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And our All Detective podcast continues now with I Love Adventure and Hearse on the Highway. This is from 1948.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 12, Hearse on the Highway, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie. O'clock on a cold, rainy night on a state highway curving along the coast of Southern California. Jack Packard and Doc Long are in the cab of a 2-ton delivery truck, attired in the khaki uniforms and peaked caps usually worn by truck drivers. Doc is at the wheel, peering anxiously through the foggy windshield at the barely visible white line down the middle of the road. Jack seems more interested in the side roads intersecting the main highway and adjusts the wind wings so he can see out as they speed along.
Jack, you have to keep that wing open. This cab's like an icebox already.
Bear up a little longer, Doc. We've almost finished our day's work.
Night's work, you mean? And just what is our work?
Why, we're truckers, of course. Anybody can tell that from our clothes.
Oh, what's the idea, Jack? Why are we wearing this disguise? Why are we driving up and down the highway for 3 nights running looking for something? And what are we looking for? And why don't you let me in on it?
Well, I had what I thought was a pretty good reason for keeping you in the dark, but it doesn't seem to be working out.
You keep telling me to keep my eyes open, but what for?
Hijackers.
Hijackers? Is that what we're looking for?
That's it.
Why didn't you tell me? I might have noticed something.
Well, I knew what we were looking for, and I haven't noticed anything.
Hijackers, huh? I've been reading about it in the papers. They're having a regular epidemic down here, ain't they?
Yeah, been going on for months now. Local police have been yelling for help. That's why we're here.
Well, are we working with the police?
No, we're working for the Citizens Welfare Committee.
Well, who are they?
The local welfare organization. Semi-political, I believe. Anyhow, they think this hijacking business is a reflection on the fair name of Southern California, and they want to stop.
You mean they want us to stop it?
That's about it. We report to Xavier Carmichael, chairman of the committee.
Well, son, how'd they happen to pick on us?
Well, we got a telegram from this Mr. Carmichael, asked me to come down here for an interview last week. Got headquarters in an office building in downtown Santa Lorenzo.
So you come all the way down here to see him?
Yeah, I came down to see him.
Come in, Mr. Packard. I know you by reputation, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, thanks, Mr. Carmichael. I'm flattered, I'm sure.
Well, we're not as far out of the world as you might think. We know what's going on. Sit down, please.
Oh, thanks. What's it all about?
Well, undoubtedly, you've read about the wave of hijacking going on down here.
Yes, I have. Several truck drivers murdered, I believe.
That's right. Well, Mr. Packard, as chairman of the Citizens Welfare Committee, I am prepared to offer you a good fee and expenses to get at the bottom of this hijacking for us.
You mean to work with the local police?
Absolutely not. But the local police follow their own clues. As citizens whom I represent have sent for you to do the cleanup job alone.
Well, what's wrong with the police?
We're just tired of this hijacking and nothing done. We don't blame the police, but we want some action.
I know you're Sheriff Hunley by reputation. I always thought he was a very capable man.
Well, you see how capable he is. Practically every load of liquor and cigarettes that leaves the Santa Lorenzo Consolidated Warehouses is hijacked. In fact, it almost looks like a put-up job. And with us being so close to the border, we're stymied.
You mean you think Sheriff Hunley...
That's not Hunley himself, but someone under him. I'm not accusing anyone until I get the facts. That's what I want you for.
I'm interested, Mr. Carmichael. It may take time, but I'll have a try if you like.
We're willing to stand a reasonable amount of expense. I've made out a check for your first week's services.
Well, that's pretty generous.
And by the way, have you any suggestions, any place where you want us to begin operations?
That's your business, sir. I won't attempt to tell you how to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Play it any way I see it, huh?
Exactly.
Well, that sounds all right. Good afternoon.
Good luck, Mr. Packard.
So that's how we happen to be here, Doc.
I bet you the police will yell bloody murder if we break this case. Oh, say, son, I thought that Sheriff Huntley was a friend of yours.
Was. Still is, I hope.
Well, does he know we in town?
Sure. I went to see him, too.
Well, if it isn't Jack Packard himself. Haven't seen you in a coon's age.
Well, how are you, Sheriff? I thought you'd be back in the Army now. They're looking for good top sergeants again.
I tried, but they said I was too old. What are you doing down here anyway, Packard?
Don't you know?
Well, now that you come right out and ask me, yes, I do. You're working for Xavier Carmichael.
I can see he doesn't keep a secret very well.
Yeah, what can you expect from amateurs?
Any objections to my new assignment?
No, not at all. I'm just as anxious to get this hijacking business cleared up as Carmichael. More, in fact.
Hey, just what is Carmichael's racket?
Oh, he's made a pile of dough in the drug business. He's organized this Citizens Welfare Committee as a hobby. Yeah, they do a lot of good and help the veterans and write to the newspapers and all that.
I wouldn't say you two were exactly working together.
No, opposite sides of the political fence.
Well, I'd like to cooperate with you on this business, Sheriff, but my orders are to go it alone.
Oh, I understand, Jack. You can't always pick your clients. It was nice of you to come and see me. Under the circumstances, I doubted if you wouldn't.
Well, don't spill my play, huh? I imagine Carmichael would hit the ceiling if he knew.
You can depend on me. If you need any help, don't worry on that score.
Well, that's fair enough, Sheriff.
Well, I meant it when I said I'm anxious to get the bottom of these hijackings. Several drivers have been killed, friends of mine. Just between ourselves, we haven't been able to get a single lead on the gang that's doing it.
They specialize in cigarettes and liquor, I hear.
Yeah, and then a fast trip across the border. They seem to know every time a load of the stuff hits the road. There's a leak somewhere.
You've already checked the trucking companies?
Every one in the district.
How about the drivers themselves?
Well, they don't know what they're carrying until they're on the road. They know it may mean their life if they talk. And too many of them have been killed. No, it's not the drivers.
Well, Sheriff, if you haven't been able to crack it, I don't know what I'm doing here, but the fee is good and a job's a job in this game.
Well, glad to have you. And don't forget what I said. If you get into any trouble, need any help, just yell.
Thanks. And don't think I haven't got the voice for it.
Well, I feel a little bit better knowing the sheriff's office ain't gunning for her.
Sheriff Hunley's all right.
Hey, here comes the truck. He's blinking his lights.
He's saying hello. Blink back at him.
You okay? Hello there, feller. Hope he ain't carrying no cigarettes or liquor.
If he is, I bet he's none too happy.
Gets mighty lonesome on this stretch of highway at night.
Not getting nervous, are you?
Oh, no, I'm just tired. Plenty of strain watching this white line.
Yeah, I know. I'll take the wheel on the way back.
When we going back?
As soon as we have a bite to eat. I think there's a cafe along here somewhere.
Yeah, down the road a piece there, a roadside cafe. We ain't tried it yet.
Yeah, there are the lights up ahead. Roadside cafe.
I can always remember places to eat.
Popular place. A lot of trucks parked around.
Must be good. That's one thing I've learned about the trucking business. Trucks stop where the eating is good.
I hope you're right.
Here we are. And am I hungry?
Hey, there's a space in between those two trucks.
Hey, look it, son. Ain't no wonder there's so many trucks outside. It ain't the food, it's that beautiful blonde.
Watch it, Doc. She may not be so dumb either.
Yeah. Hey, there's a couple of vacant stools down the far end of the counter.
Lead on.
Hey, Goldie, how about another egg sandwich on toast?
Egg sandwich. Burn it.
Nice shape, huh, Jack?
Remember what I told you.
Yeah, gosh, it's nice to sit down and not have no wheel in your hand.
You said it, brother. I see white lines in my sleep.
Yeah, I'll be satisfied if I can see them when I'm awake. Hey, Goldie, how's about a couple of cups of Java?
Okay, Java coming up.
And a menu.
Menu's on the blackboard.
Yeah, up there on the wall.
You fellas haven't been trucking long, have you?
No, just breaking in. How'd you know?
Oh, I haven't seen you around, and you ain't been here before. You've known about the blackboard.
Yeah, we didn't know about this place.
Oh, all the truckers hang out here.
Mr. Java, this'll thaw the ice out of your bones.
Honey, I thawed out the minute I laid eyes on you. How about a date on my night off?
You're talking out of the wrong side of your mouth, pal.
Bowl of chili for me, please.
What'll be for you, Yardbird?
How about Saturday night?
Booked up 2 months solid. Get your mind and your ease.
I'll buy him a chili. I'm starving.
Medium. On two.
Hey, don't go away. We're just getting acquainted.
I got better company to keep. How you doing, Bing?
Hey, I bought you a little present, Goldie.
Hey, Doc, look.
Bottle of bonded stuff. Oh, you're a pal, Bing.
I got a whole case for you outside.
Oh, might have been happy with a quart. Hot shot trip, huh?
How do you think I got it?
I knew you'd make it. You can afford to take me to Los Angeles now.
I'll be back Saturday night.
I'll be waiting. Excuse me, your stand's ready.
Hot shot trip. That's what they call carrying an important load, Doc.
Yeah, get it. Oh, I'm sorry, Bing. I didn't know Goldie was your gal.
It's all right, fella. I've been trying to make the grade a long time.
Yeah, she's worth waiting for. If you ever get fed up, let me have your place in the line.
Two chilies and eggs, Sam.
I'll eat on the way, Goldie. I got to step on it now.
Okay. Bye, Bing. Be seeing you.
I'll leave the case in the storeroom.
Oh, swell.
Bye, Goldie.
Hey, honey, is this radio work?
Sure. But you got to turn it on. Take the minute to warm up.
Took me less than that to warm up to you, baby. I bet you're wonderful on a dance floor.
I can stomp a little, if that's what you mean.
Well, look, now that Bing's gone, we can get down to business. Hey, don't go away.
Sorry. I gotta phone my mother.
Well, let me treat you. Here's a nickel.
Why not? I'm thankful for small favors.
Well, when you get through talking, can I come see you in the phone booth?
No, not tonight. There's onions in that chili.
You don't seem to be going over so well.
Oh, she's just playing hard to get.
We don't want any trouble with this fella Bing. Less attention we attract, the better.
Well, Goldie's just being nice to him on account of the bottle good. Yeah, lots of static around here.
No, that's Goldie calling her mother.
On my nickel, too. It better be her mother.
Well, I've had enough. How about you?
I could stand a piece of pie.
You mean you want to hang around that waitress?
Well, it'll probably break her heart if I don't wait to see her.
Come on, Doc, forget it.
Well, how about paying her check?
I left money. Here we go.
Now you can see for yourself how hard it is to drive in this rain.
Yeah, kind of tough on the eyes. Glad we had that hot chili.
I wonder what drivers done before they had windshield wipers.
Hey, what's that up ahead?
Looks like a fire. Somebody's burning trash.
In this rain?
Oh, yeah, that is kind of funny.
I think it's a flare. Yeah, there are two of them.
Sure, somebody's truck's broke down.
Uh-huh, parked the side of the road.
Flares front and back. Slow down, maybe we can help.
You know anything about trucks?
Only just enough to drive, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hey, Jack, is the guy underneath working on it?
We'll pull alongside and sympathize anyway.
Hey, under there, you need any help?
Guess he didn't hear you.
Hey, you in trouble? He must be deep.
Can you see him?
Yeah, well, what you know, it's a friend Bing.
Bing? You mean the fella at the cafe?
Yeah, the guy give Goldie that lick.
We better take a look.
Hey, you don't
get
think...
out. I got a hunch something's wrong.
Hey, Bing. Bing, can we help you?
He hasn't moved. I'm going under there.
Hey, look, son. That wrench is taped to his hand.
Yeah.
Well, shake him.
No use. He's dead.
Dead? You mean...
Yeah. Shot through the heart.
Oh, poor hombre. I guess he was carrying cigarettes and liquor, all right.
Come on, we got a job to do.
Doing what?
I got a hunch. Let's get on it. Slow down. Here's the highway.
Well, where to now, son?
Turn right. The roadside cafe.
The roadside? Say, now, ain't that a mean trick on Goldie?
Goldie? Oh, the blonde waitress. Why is it a mean trick?
Well, Bing being dead and all, she's probably feeling pretty bad. I wouldn't want to take advantage of her. She's a nice kid.
How are you going to take advantage of her?
Well, son, she kind of likes me, and now that her date for Saturday night is busted, I could probably step right into Bing's shoes.
And that's just what you're going to do.
Jack, you mean that you approve of my interest in Goldie?
I not only approve, I'm encouraging it.
Well, hey there, you have had a change of heart.
Look, you know what's in this package here?
No, I don't. I've been wondering. Looks like a Christmas present.
Well, not exactly. It's a gift for Goldie.
Oh, a gift for Goldie. Hey, now, you don't mean that
you... No, I'm not trying to beat your time. You're going to present it to the fair young lady yourself.
Oh, I am? Well, it must be a catch somewhere. Well, what's in the package? A
couple of bottles of scotch.
No kid. Oh, man, is she going to like that?
Very much, I think.
Well, wait just a minute now, son. Bing, that other driver, he gave her a whole case of liquor just before he was found dead.
Well, you wanted to step right into Bing's shoes, didn't you?
Not all the way, if you know what I mean.
And when she asked if you're hauling cigarettes and liquor, you answered just like Bing did.
Well, how was that?
Just say, where do you think I got this stuff?
Hey, you don't think Goldie had anything to
do with it. Well, I'm going to find out pretty quick. If she's the leak, we're going to be hijacked tonight.
You mean you think she finds out from the drivers when they're hauling stuff that the hijackers want?
Why not?
Oh, hey, I don't think I like Goldie nearly so much.
Well, don't go jumping to conclusions till we prove it.
But if we prove it, I won't be here not to like her.
You got your gun handy, haven't you?
Right here in my shoulder holster. That's how come you asked me twice tonight if I was set for target practice.
That's it. And if Goldie says anything about Bing, we know nothing about it.
Only what we read in the paper.
Right. Even the police don't know we found him.
Oh, hey, you didn't identify yourself when you called in from that gas station.
No, I just told him I was a motorist passing by. No point in our getting mixed up in it.
Well, here's a roadside cafe. I'm pretty excited, but not in just the same way I was last night.
Pull in here. That's it.
Ain't many trucks here tonight.
Well, a little yeah, yeah. Don't forget your package.
Yeah, give it to me.
Now, do your stuff, Doc. Remember, this may be the break we've been waiting for.
And about time.
Well, if you ever made a play for a girl, do it tonight.
Oh, now you're talking about the kind of work I was cut out to do, wooing the women. Not that I think you're right about Goldie.
Maybe.
There she is. Hi, Goldie.
Not so crowded tonight.
Nah, never is 4-7.
Have you missed me, honey?
Look, I haven't had to throw anything at you yet, but when I do, I won't miss.
Oh, ain't she the kidder?
Well, let's sit down. Anywhere, Goldie?
Sure, no reserved seats here.
Hey, I've been carrying your picture around with me ever since I seen you last, Goldie.
Picture? I didn't give you no picture.
It's in my mind. I can't see nothing else.
Then all I gotta say is, you better let your friend do the driving.
Truer words were never spoken. He almost ditched us last night.
Okay, well, it be, gents.
Slab of cheese on rye for me.
You eating, handsome?
Well, thank you for them kind words, Sugarfoot. Oh, I'll just sit right here and look at you.
What's eating you? You look as sick as our beef sandwich.
He's in love, Goldie. If a guy says, give him a date so he can do his share of the trucking.
American on rye. Java?
Yeah, one for the love lawn, too.
Colored?
No, we're taking blank.
I just made up a batch. I'll see if it's ready.
How am I doing?
Not bad. You better eat something, though.
Nuh-uh. If we're going to have action, I shoot better on an empty stomach.
You don't seem to be worrying about Bing, any.
No. But that's always the effect I have on widders.
You should come. Now, don't forget your package.
Here you are. First 2 cups out of the kettle.
Have you thought any more about Saturday night, Goldie?
What about Saturday night?
Well, I sort of thought that maybe you might have changed your mind about going out with
him. Oh? You got a car?
Well, no, not just exactly.
I ain't going nowhere in no truck.
Well, it gets you there and it gets you back. What's the difference?
My chinchilla don't look good in a truck. No thanks.
Oh, Goldie, now, that ain't no way to treat me after what I brung you to.
Yeah? What did you bring me?
Here. That's a present for you.
Oh, gee, thanks. What is it?
Open it up and see.
Well, scotch. This is a surprise.
I thought maybe you might like it. It's best brand on the market.
Yeah, swell stuff. So you're not hauling these?
Well, Where you think I got it at?
Gee, a hot shot already, huh?
Important is load on the highway. You can't keep a good man down.
Yeah, I guess you got a future, all right.
Well, I finished my feed bag. You ready, Doc?
You ate that sandwich already?
Sure, but you wouldn't know. You've been in a trance.
Hey, Goldie, I get an automobile for Saturday night. I'll rent one.
Okay, handsome. Okay, it's a deal.
Come on, Doc. We're behind schedule.
All right. Bye, Goldie. I'll see you Saturday.
Now, I'll be waiting.
Good work, Doc.
Done all right, huh?
I'm in. Let's get going.
Am I still driving?
Yep.
Yeah, got me a date, too. You know, Jack, there's something about
me. Yeah, sure is. It takes a busy blonde to see it.
Oh, you just jealous.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I can't wait till Saturday.
Aren't you forgetting the reason for your little act in there?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was just an act, wasn't it? I forgot for a minute.
Keep your mind on your driving. Now turn around and go back to the cafe.
Go back? What?
I forgot my cab.
Huh. Guess I ain't the only one that's always forgetting.
Yeah.
Hope there wasn't no cops seen me make that U-turn.
Turn off your lights as we drive up.
Well, why?
Don't want to attract Goldie's attention.
Well, okay, they're off. Where you want to park at?
Out here on the road. I'll be right out. Goldie.
Just went in the telephone booth.
Oh, I forgot my cap. I thought she might have put it away.
Listen to that static on that radio. Always does it if anybody telephones.
Yeah. My cap must be around here somewhere.
There's a cap on the floor under that stool.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Thanks. Okay, get going, quick.
North?
Right, and step on it. Keep your eyes open.
I don't see nothing yet. What are we looking for?
Keep your eye peeled. Don't relax for a minute.
You think we're sure enough going to get hijacked tonight?
I'm sure of it.
Son, the more I think about it, the more I think you got Goldie pegged wrong.
She was in the telephone booth when I went back to the cafe.
Well, she might have been calling her mama.
She called her mother the night Bing was murdered.
Hey, you don't suppose there's a chance of us being murdered, do you?
Who knows?
Still don't see nothing. We must have come a good 60 miles.
58, to be exact.
Maybe they missed us. Maybe we spent too much time back there at that gas station.
I don't think so.
Son, seeing as how I might not be alive to talk this over with you, why, tell me, how did you know all them police would be waiting for us at the gas station?
The little plan I worked out with Sheriff Hunley.
I darn near fell out of the cab when I seen him. Must have been a couple of dozen of them.
20. And every one of them handy with a machine gun.
Won't them hijackers be surprised when they find out we're carrying a load of police instead of cigarettes and liquor?
That's the general idea. Hey, what's that up ahead?
Looks like a flare.
Yeah, it is a flare. Two of them.
You reckon there's a truck in trouble?
No. This is what we've been looking for.
This the hijacking gang?
Yeah.
Then you better warn our machine gun crew in the back.
Right. Three knocks on the back of the cab.
They hear you?
They haven't answered yet. Yeah, there it is. They're ready.
I'm getting pretty close. What'd I do now?
Blow up for the flares, just as they expect we will. A couple of thugs will probably jump on the running board and try to open the cab doors. Sure yours is locked?
Oh, you're tighter than a drum.
So is mine. Now, when they hit the running boards, be sure the truck is stopped. Throw on the emergency brake and then duck. Do you understand?
Yeah, I got it.
When the truck stops, Hunley and his men will pour out the back and start blasting away with their Tommy guns.
Well, can't we get in on the fun?
Not unless we have to. They'll be covering us. We're depending on surprise.
Hey, there's somebody in the middle of the road.
Signaling with a flashlight.
Yeah. I guess this is it, all right.
All right. It's going to slow down now.
Only seems to be just one man.
The others are probably hiding behind the truck. Remember your instructions.
Yeah. Here we are.
I'm in trouble, pal. Can you give me a hand?
What's the matter?
Hey, what is this?
I need some liquor, pal. Stick them up.
Get them up, both of you, and get out of the cab.
This is stick up?
You said it. Open those doors before we drill you.
Duck, duck.
Come on in, Jack. Here in my office.
You don't mind if Doc comes along, too?
Yeah, how about me?
Oh, not at all. Come on in. Want to congratulate you both. Fine work.
Well, same to you, Sheriff. Any of your men hurt seriously?
No, that's the best part of it. Only a couple of scratches. And we got 10 hijackers. 4 dead and 6 wounded.
Well, then I guess we're washed up here.
Well, I think we've broken the back of the gang, all right. But I do wish we could have gotten the brains behind it.
None of the wounded hijackers will sing?
Yeah, they claim they got their orders from Bugs Thompson. He died back there on the road.
That's too bad. What about the girl, Goldie? Did you pick her up?
Yeah, we're working her over. She says she always called Bugs Thompson on the phone.
Well, now, maybe Thompson was a brain.
No, Thompson was just a thug. He could do the rough stuff, but somebody else did the planning. It was too clever.
Oh, then Goldie was a member of the gang?
Sure, she admits it.
You're breaking Doc's heart, Sheriff. Doc had a wolfie's eye on Goldie. Even gave her a couple of bottles of scotch.
Oh, so that's it. Yeah?
Miss Xavier Carmichael sees you, Sheriff. Says you sent for him.
Carmichael? Uh-oh. This probably means trouble for you, Jack.
Oh, I don't think so. In fact, I took the liberty of sending for him in your name, Sheriff.
You want him in here?
Yeah, do you mind?
Yeah, show him in.
Yes, sir. I'll get him.
What's the idea, Jack? Got something you haven't let me in on?
Maybe.
This way, Mr. Carmichael. Sheriff's right inside.
Pretty late hour to be getting me out of bed, Sheriff. Must be something important.
Packard.
Oh, so you know Jack Packard.
Packard, what's the meaning of this? I thought I told you...
Carmichael, I accuse you of being the mastermind behind the cigarette and liquor hijacking gang. I accuse
what?
You...
What? Hey, Jack.
I accuse you of murder and robbery on the highway.
Packard, you must be out of your mind. You must be drunk.
Yes, what is this, Packard?
This is your mastermind, Sheriff. Carmichael, your gang was rounded up tonight and Bugs Thompson is dead.
Bugs Thompson? Never heard of the gentleman. Who is he?
I know it seemed like a foolproof setup, Carmichael. None of the gang knew who they were working for except Goldie.
Goldie?
Yeah, we got her, too. She gave away the whole show.
Oh, that two-faced little brat. Well, okay, Sheriff. I guess that's that.
Well, looks to me like a friend Carmichael's about ready to sign a confession, Jack.
How about it, Sheriff?
Yeah. Deputy, take him outside and give him pen and paper.
It's a pleasure. Come along, you.
Jack, what goes on here? You throw me a curve. How'd you happen to suspect Carmichael? He's got wealth, position. What was his motive?
Greed. Just plain greed. He was rich, but he wanted to be richer.
Yeah, but Goldie, Jack, how come you know she knew Carmichael?
Because I listened to her telephone call.
But she always called from the booth. How could you hear her?
Remember the static on the radio?
Yeah.
Remember I told you it was the telephone dial?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, when I went back for my cap, Goldie was dialing a number. I listened to the clicks over the radio. I counted the clicks and got the number. Granite, 9854.
And that was Carmichael's number?
I checked with the telephone company and found out the number was a private wire leased to Carmichael.
And from what Carmichael said, Goldie not only worked for him, she must have been his girl.
Sorry, Doc. Better luck next time.
Oh, that's okay, son. She was only a strawberry blonde after all. I never did go for a strawberry blonde very much. Now, you take a real flaming redhead.
Not me. You take her.
You think I won't? Whoop. I'll take a flaming redhead every time.
You have just heard I Love Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Next week, International Incident Number 13, entitled The Ambassador Ricardo Santos Incident, an affair of death in the African jungles. Other players in tonight's show included Lou Krugman, Peggy Weber, Russell Thorson, Frank Richards, and Frank Gerstle. Curse on the Highway was written by Thomas J. Ahern. Organ music by Rex Curry. Your announcer, Dresser Dahlstedt.
That's it for this week, but not to fear. We'll be back next week with more great old-time radio for you. Till then, this is Jim Dolan. Thanks for listening.